Hello, Breeda. Actually, I consider you a global expert on health, right?
Well, I wouldn't say a little global expert in every word, but I'm a nurse, I'm a midwife, and yeah, and my master's in public health from Liverpool University.
Yes, and you have a lot of experience globetrotting, and I think you have experience in these viruses. So let's talk about the virus. So-called virus now, it's kind of, I mean, it's something people are all wondering about. So tell us, what is a virus, Breeda, with your experience and expertise?
Yeah, well, viruses are microscopic organisms that exist almost everywhere on Earth.
Mm.
They lack the capacity to thrive and reproduce outside of a host.
Yes.
They can infect animals, plants, fungi, even bacteria.
Yes.
Sometimes a virus can cause a deadly disease like HIV in the past before treatment.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody developed AIDS.
Yes.
A simple cold viral infection might have no noticeable reaction.
Mm. Yes. So
they can be transmitted in many ways. Through touch, saliva, coughing, like airborne.
Yes, yes.
Also sexual contact, as in HIV, human immunodeficiency virus.
Yes.
Through contaminated needles, bites of insects, we know malaria, dengue hemorrhagic fever, ticks. They can act as vectors, transmitting the virus from one host to another.
Yes. So it could
but
be
not
from...
not all viral diseases are contagious.
Yes, yes.
Like HIV or an airborne flu.
Yes.
Or herpes. Some can be the bite of malaria from one individual, but they can't transfer malaria to the next person.
Yes, yes.
The most dangerous viruses are transmission from human to human.
Yes. Oh, the dangerous ones are that, from human to human, yes. And
well, yes, because the infection doesn't stop with you who is infected.
Yes,
you can be an asymptomatic carrier,
like
we've heard of cholera in the past or other TB.
Yes.
People might have few symptoms, but if certain touch or airborne transfer happens, a more vulnerable, older or sick person can contract the infection.
Yes. So once it goes to a host, like a human being, it is very much easier for other human beings to get it, isn't it?
Yes.
So it could be from the
antibiotics
animals.
Antibiotics are most important to fight the disease. So antibodies, not antibiotics.
Yeah.
Antibodies.
Hmm.
In fact, antibiotics don't work against viruses.
Yes.
Against bacterial infection, yes, but not viruses.
Yes. So the virus has its own kind of, how do you say it? It has its own genetics, sort of, is it?
Like there are many different types of HIV virus.
Mm.
HIV-1, East Africa, HIV-2, West Africa, different subtypes, different clades. It's the same with malaria. It's the same now with the coronavirus. It's the same with Ebola. That, you know, we still don't know the source of many viruses.
Yes. So, and that's the problem now.
Invading the spaces of the animals.
Yes.
With all the forest deforestation.
Yes.
Mining, big industry moving into where animals lived.
Yes.
Quite happily by themselves.
Yes.
Before humans disrupt their habitats.
Yes, and also it's not only eating animals, but it's very interesting you should say about deforestation, and probably they do say that it could be from bats, but I mean it could be something else, not only bats probably. And it could be that they have habitats in trees, and sometimes these trees are cut down, and so they might
There's more and more deforestation.
Yes,
I've witnessed in my work in Sudan, in Cambodia, in Mozambique, huge forests disappearing, and it's affecting climate and weather patterns.
Yes, yes, And the migration of animals, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, we never had foxes in the city when I was a child.
Yes.
Now we have foxes in my area of Dublin, Dublin 7.
Yes, yes, there are foxes in where I lived as well. I remember there were foxes, but so, I think they come back.
The population growth is so great in greater survival of people, obviously, because luckily programs like CONCERN is implementing to reduce extreme poverty means more and more people are living.
Yes.
So there's been a massive growth of population in Asia and Africa.
Yes. And perhaps Wuhan is a place where there's about 80 million people, isn't it?
Around? Yes, I've never been to China.
Yeah.
But I always say with these, sadly, infectious diseases, they're just a plane, train, boat, or bike right away these days.
Yes, yes. And actually people travel a lot, and especially travel
viruses
a lot.
Viruses are traveling diseases.
Yes, yes.
And more people are traveling. And there's 1 million people, I think, 1 million Chinese working in Africa.
Yes, yes, but...
How many in the Middle East?
Yes, but I think we shouldn't think only about the Chinese working in these places, but that because there's a lot of racism regarding this virus now, you know, and
I'm reading about some of it online.
Yes,
like HIV, supporting stigma around people carrying viruses or affected by viruses, nothing to help us to contain and prevent transmission.
Yes, yes. The thing is to think about it. It's a universal problem now. I think it's possible that you know people, many people could have it or not have it. But tell us, Breda, not everybody is affected in the same manner when you have this.
Well, a lot depends on, a bit like HIV,
yes,
or for any illness, the body's immune system.
Yes, yes.
You know, antibodies bind themselves to viruses, marking them as invaders, so that white cells can fight and engulf and destroy them.
Yes.
So healthy people, people with a good diet,
yes,
people with no underlying disease or chronic disease are more likely to withstand infections.
Yes.
So from viruses or bacteria.
Yes.
And many of the infectious diseases we're working with CONCERN overseas now have vaccines.
Yes. That's another thing, isn't it? There is no, because people haven't understood about this special virus, that they have to kind of find out what it is, isn't it? How it's formed.
There's been no time,
Yes.
To develop the vaccine that one might need.
Yes.
I mean, we still don't have a HIV vaccine.
Yes, yes.
The last big study failed because, again, HIV is constantly changing and mutating.
You mean the viruses change their form and the way, their structures?
Yes.
Yes, yes. This one is called corona because it's like a crown.
In the host.
Isn't it? It's called, because I read somewhere that it's like a crown. It's crowned. So they call it corona.
I think that, based on how it
looks like, the shape,
makeup.
Yeah. That's all they could say now, but they are not sure how it's formed or what it is. And that's a fear people have because it's, you know, it's unknown. Because people like to think now in, you know, the science have answers for everything. So now here we are. Nature has provided a question.
Coronaviruses are a large family of similar viruses found in animals and humans.
Yes.
And probably you've heard of SARS before.
Yes. Were you in Africa at that time? Have you worked in this area?
No, I didn't. Wasn't in the area with SARS. I've come across MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome.
Uh-huh. Yes. And how do people, you know, these are kind of in a community diseases, right? And there are epidemics that goes into the community and it affects a lot of huge populations. So how do people must be really frightened about these things, you know?
many people don't realize where they came from, but for me, it's, I guess, interesting and not good that a lot of them attack the respiratory system.
Mm.
And then people, especially vulnerable people, develop pneumonia.
Yes.
I mean, SARS originated in China also in 2002.
Mm.
And again, they think it was from mammals, small animals, mutated. People were working close to animals and then it affected humans.
Yes, yes.
MERS, I think, came from camels, they think.
Yes, so. Yes. I read about that, yeah. In the Middle East,
camels,
yes, yes.
Which are the ones of I worked with in Sudan, the one-humped camels.
Mm. And Breeda, tell me, how does the community react to these things? Do they have, you know, how do they react to each other? Because it must be a great stigma to be, you know, almost imprisoned, like in Wuhan, where people are not allowed to go out, quite rightly so, maybe, you know.
Yeah, well, just think of Ebola in DRC currently, ongoing epidemic, which is a zoonosis, you know, moving from the animal kingdom to the human, bats also.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, as with AIDS, Ebola, coronavirus, we really need to go beyond the fear and do a lot of work with risk reduction and communication with the target communities. I mean, they were stopping health workers from coming into certain areas in eastern DRC, even still, where Ebola is present.
Yeah, is it because there is problems there? I mean, there are wars and you know,
as well.
Civil wars, yes.
But there's a lot of myths, misconceptions, you know. We need mythbusters.
Yes, yes. And but
so
mind you,
have accurate information.
Yes, this is a big problem now because people look at newspapers and television to get information, but they are not really scientific information at all. They're mostly, they're kind of sophisticated, sometimes sophisticated racist views. And there's always some political view underneath it all. And this is not what people want. People want to know, you know, simple answers to very complicated questions. So I suppose
yesterday it didn't make the news globally, but I was following it.
Yes.
Ebola was still declared in DRC. What is it? What's my acronym? PHIEC, Public Health Emergency of International Concern.
Where? In
Congo.
Oh, no.
It remains. It still constitutes Ebola in DRC, a public health emergency of international concern.
Yes. But it's not very evident in papers now. You know, it's not news for papers.
Country, in a poor part of the country,
yes.
Affecting poorest people, where there's military conflict.
Yes, yes. So I suppose
the most important work is to continue to engage and build the trust of the people infected, especially survivors, I think, are the most important people. Survivors of coronavirus, survivors are people living with HIV, survivors of Ebola.
Mm.
They can help their communities to report if they have symptoms. Early diagnosis?
Yes.
For all viruses. Can help to reduce transmission.
So tell us a few kind of ways of, you know, preserving ourselves or looking after ourselves. I think there's no, remedies for this, but there's a remedy that we can, there are certain things we can do ourselves.
Absolutely. Like for any flu or virus or whatever, personal hygiene is the most important thing.
Yes.
Washing hands with soap and water before eating, after using toilets, after contact with animals. Avoid contact or coughing, you know, in front of sick people. Dispose of tissues carefully. Cover your nose and mouth. Don't go to markets or unhygienic places where you might be exposed to human or animal excreta.
Mm.
Many poorest people don't have, you know. If my trip to Bangladesh comes off tomorrow, open defecation is a practice because there is no toilet.
Mm. Yes, yes.
So really important to practice respiratory hygiene.
Yes.
Don't cough in front of people on the bus. Keep a distance. Maybe don't shake hands if you don't feel comfortable. Explain.
Yes.
Maintain a social distance. I mean, I hate it myself personally when people are breathing on top of me on the Lewis or on the bus. Or it's an uncomfortable feeling.
Yes.
You know, don't be touching your hands.
It's about personal space, isn't it? It's personal space.
Personal space. Mm. But if you have a fever, cough, difficulty breathing, seek medical attention or call your GP or call somebody. You know, there's been no detected cases of coronavirus in Ireland yet, but even a regular flu is a pain. Nobody wants it.
So, Breda, what you're saying is that you should be aware of yourself and of others.
Yeah. Preventing, in Sudan, this was a problem. People used to eat raw, uncooked meat.
Yes, yes.
But the main things are wash your hands.
Simple things.
Amount of places I go, public restaurants, I won't say where, people will come out of a bathroom with a phone in hand and they'll never wash their hands.
Yes, simple things like that, I suppose. Yes. That you overlook.
Stores, I see in restaurants.
Yes,
and
but
they'll be looking for expensive sanitizers and other things, but that's the most important.
Yes, just like what we said, tell our children, wash your hands. Right.
Exactly. At the right time.
Yes. And
some cultures, you know, spitting is culturally acceptable. I mean, even for TB, I always try to support and encourage our teams and field staff to help people to stop unsafe practices that might put other people at risk.
Yes. So actually, it's about personal distancing, not to do it too much, but
in a discriminatory way.
Not to do that.
Hand hygiene and food hygiene.
Yes, and not to worry too much. I think it affects your immune system, isn't it?
Well, yeah, stay healthy. I mean, eat fruit, eat vegetables, multivitamin if you need them. With Ireland now, with the outside smoking, sometimes the street isn't the healthiest place. Cross the street.
Be aware of, I suppose,
the immune system is the most important.
And not to read too many unnecessary newspapers. You know, in the news in papers.
Follow the World Health Organization.
Exactly,
director.
Yes.
Their site is excellent. It's updated every day.
Yes.
With the latest advice.
Yes.
You know, they have a great section on Mythbusters.
Yes. I was reading it today, actually, before I was speaking to you, because they update it, as you say, every day, like, isn't it?
And it's the same with, Ebola. You know, it's important to support people to do the right thing.
Yes.
So aid concern programs supporting wash interventions, clean drinking water, and safe latrines is really important.
And also not to stigmatize these stigmas are actually another kind of racist virus, do you see? So one has to
It's a big concern. I'm a nurse midwife. I'm still registered as a health worker in Ireland.
Yeah.
But any illness like Ebola that can kill the health workers and now coronavirus that has killed some health workers.
Yes, it has.
Doctors. You know, that makes it scary even for
health service people.
They're the real heroes.
Absolutely. So you are a hero too. You've survived and you've worked with all these kind of viruses before. So I would thank you. Thank you for letting us know about simple things people might have forgotten that could be done to safeguard yourself. Yeah.
Hand hygiene, food hygiene.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
And I guess advocacy then, you know, if we see in Ireland or in Bangladesh or in a country in Africa, Sudan, our ministries of health are not taking enough action, advocate. It has to be invested in.
Yes, yes.
This is a new situation for scientists, for researchers, for health workers.
Yes.
No, nobody has the answers.
And also now our time is up, I think. We can talk about it for really for a long time. Another time, when you come back from Bangladesh, we'll have a good powwow. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm even looking here now for, because the World Health Organization has to be so careful in the data they publish. So they haven't updated the date from yesterday yet on the site.
Hmm. Right, they have to be
the
careful.
The last report, situation report, is 12th of February 2020.
Hmm. Right.
And in Ireland, the HPSC now has a good information.
Yes.
HPSC.
HPSC.
Health Protection Surveillance Centre.
Yes.
They've got good information from an Irish.
Yeah, good to those sources and not necessarily to newspapers or television.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you, Breeda. Thank you.
HPSC.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks
and
very much,
safe
Ashley.
Journey. Thanks safe to journey to Bangladesh.
And I hope Ireland keeps safe, and I hope containment is secured everywhere soon.
Thank you.